Welcome back to Transform, a podcast highlighting the people and ideas shaping the future of senior living. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. On today's episode, I spoke with CHI Living Community CEO Prentice Lipsey. The Oregon, Ohio-based senior living provider operates 13 communities across 7 states and is the senior living division of Common Spirit Health. To continue the nonprofit provider's recovery, Lipsey sees potential in growing wellness services and improving care coordination, while grappling with senior living's affordability challenges in 2025 and beyond.
The last time we spoke about the hub and spoke model, it was more of a concept, and we're proving out these concepts each day and moving towards the future.
Now, here's my interview with CHI Living Community CEO, Prentice Lipsey. Welcome back to Transform. Prentice, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks, Austin.
Obviously, that great partnership with Common Spirit. For those who aren't familiar, can you tell us about your organization?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the CHI Living Communities is essentially the senior living arm of Common Spirit Senior Living and Transitional Care. The Living Communities makes up about 60% of the long-term care assets within Common Spirit, which in total equates to about 25 locations across 12 different states.
Thank you. And I know we caught up last year with your organization, and there were a lot of different things that we touched on. But in terms of, before we talk about the way 2024 shaped out, what's ahead for 2025? What can we expect for CHI?
Well, so yeah, that's an interesting question. I think I would characterize 2025 as having a few areas of outlook. I think there's a demand that we're seeing for senior living and the senior housing space, with 12,000 people turning to age 65 each day here in the United States. There's a need that we're starting to recognize for more housing and more senior services, more community-based services. And then I think, you know, you're also experiencing, in terms of the outlook for the industry, two items that drive the fourth, which are addressing staffing needs and addressing rising costs and inflation in the economy, are pushing us into the need to experience more consideration for innovation and technology, which is the fourth area. And then a fifth area that is starting to take shape, which has always been there, which is the reason why I'm in the senior living space, is that focus on wellness, making sure that we're able to provide a holistic wellness program for the seniors that reside in our communities.
Yeah, we know that emphasis on wellness has been well popularized and very important, I think, going forward for what's ahead in the industry, being able to market to not only the next generation of consumers, but improving the lives of everyone in our communities already. So very interesting to hear that perspective. And I know when we last spoke in 2024, you'd mentioned obviously the importance of getting back to those operational basics, from pushing on occupancy and other important metrics, really of returning to doing what you do best. So what do those priorities look like in 2025 when it comes to operations? What areas are you really going to be focusing on?
Yeah, well, they're really still the same. We're looking at ways to make sure that we're focused on our resident days as a basic metric. We have to make sure that we're being good stewards over the people that we serve, which means that everything comes down to census and being able to identify, well, what are my needs based on today and how many residents I have, and am I being a good steward to control savings and minimizing expense so that I can have that in the kitty for a bigger expense or need to improve the wellness of our residents down the road. And so those metrics continue to be what we're focused on. It's occupancy and operational optimization of efficiency, making sure that we are very focused on resident satisfaction, and then our financial performance, all important.
And just in terms of looking back at 2024, what was the occupancy journey like? I know we've seen across the industry, we've seen a pretty marked improvement from where things were even just 2 years ago. I think things are still improving very steadily. But for CHI, what's been the journey like on occupancy, and what's that been like?
Oh, thanks for that question. It's something that I definitely want to call out. I have seen the exact same thing, I think, going on within the industry and for CHI Living Communities. For the last 8 months, we've had growth month over month with our occupancy. So that is holding true.
And in terms of, I want to follow up on what you had mentioned about that emphasis on wellness within operations. What are some of those things that you're thinking about that are most important, whether that's for hearing resident feedback related to wellness or things operationally that you already know are priorities for CHI? But in terms of when you're thinking about wellness, what are those elements that you're most interested in, especially here in 2025?
Yeah, so when I think about wellness, I think about the impact on the resident. We are wanting to make sure that we're able to add successful aging years back to the life of the people that we're serving. And so when we're talking about that wellness component, it's being able to figure out what makes up successful aging. And it's the need to interact and engage and to have those activities of daily living and to be able to prevent bounce back to the hospital and making sure that they can age in place. So those are the wellness items that we tend to focus in on. It's the impact on their lives itself.
Yeah, and we know that with that concept of aging in place, I know you would mention that as very important to aligning services for CHI, especially in our previous conversation. And so I want to bring our listeners up to speed there, because I think that's a really important point that you bring up about aligning service offerings, especially those you touch on aging in place and building engagement through care navigation. So I want to see if you can give us an update there. Would love to really get your thoughts on what that alignment looks like. What areas you're really focusing on there?
Yes, so there tends to be about six core elements when we look at wellness and navigation and aligning with our system. And we're starting to narrow in on what that means for us when we start to think of the continuum of care. And we're calling these continuum of care connection programs. And the elements that make up those connections is to have a navigator, to have someone who's able to advise seniors as they go from different levels of care and even following them into the hospital, out of the hospital, or with their primary care provider. That's the first element, is having a navigator, you know, specific to them to guide them. Second is wellness models built around virtual remote monitoring and remote patient monitoring, or we like to say resident. So it's really to have eyes on our residents if that's what they desire, to make sure that they're safe and comfortable. And then we're looking at another option to do that, which kind of brings us to recovery care, being able to stand up these recovery care options. Maybe even cottage recovery care, as we're starting to call it, where we give residents and community the ability to recover from certain surgeries or ailments in an environment where you're getting all the patient remote monitoring and you're getting the technology, the additional eyes and clinical expertise to be provided into the care. And that's a connection integration with home care, right? And then taking that one step further, catered living services, being able to combine home care with private duty services beyond the typical, being able to help residents install grab bars if needed, being able to offer the amenities of restaurant meals being delivered to their home setting, you name it, but looking at that in a catered living style environment. And then last but not least, just tying it all together under the oversight and management of an advanced practice provider, being able to say, well, if this navigator is recognizing a need for bi-directional referrals or flows to community services, who is able to make those recommendations to home care agencies or to community health partners? And all that starts to be driven by the primary caregiver.
And in terms of that care navigation piece, I think it's really important to highlight the importance of care navigation. When you're thinking about what's ahead in terms of linking those services, it sounds like there's a lot of layered elements here for CHI that really all get into improving resident health and improving their overall experience throughout the whole continuum, but also even before they're in the continuum. You mentioned the aging in place elements. But in terms of care navigation, why is that something that's so important to CHI right now and more broadly the industry as a whole?
Yeah, so navigation, it's my answer to everything. I kind of lead with that because it's a way of making sure that you're reducing hospital readmissions, you're improving care coordination, you're able to reduce healthcare costs by identifying early on where a patient or a resident in the health system needs to go. And that's value-based care, right? It's putting a person in the right place, right setting, at the right cost level and quality at the time they need it, and being able to identify that early on. It helps all boats rise. And then, again, just improving resident outcomes. Being able to say, hey, we got you in the right place. This is where you're going to be safe. And this is the best place to provide care for you at this moment.
Definitely. And in regard to what you had mentioned about the recovery element that you had mentioned, is that something you can highlight in terms of what's ahead we can expect for maybe some renovation or some new development? I'd love to really get some understanding of what that might look like. I know that's a question we have later on down the road here, but with that new element, what's that look like and what's the footprint there?
Yeah, so imagine a home environment. Many times we are having conversations with case managers from hospitals, and they're trying to identify what's needed in order for someone to go home and receive service. But sometimes we have to admit a person's home environment might not be conducive to recovery for XYZ reasons. You know, they may have a couple flights of stairs, or they don't have a space of their own, or the Wi-Fi connectivity might not be optimal for some of the add-on services. So that's where this cottage recovery concept comes in. Being able to take what we are proud of in our communities and look at single one floor, ranch style cottage homes, one and two bedrooms that are renovated to look and feel like you're getting some rest and relaxation, almost spa recovery, I would say, designed to optimize your ability to just focus in on what's important, which is recovering from whatever the ailment might have been. So that's what it looks like, including having your family members be able to come visit you in this cottage recovery model. It's not skilled nursing in the sense that you've got to walk past a reception desk and you've got to sign in the same way. We're able to wire these homes to provide a much more friendlier environment and welcoming to your guests and loved ones to even stay in the two bedrooms. You know, you're recovering in one, your guests can come and stay with you and be a part of your recovery in the second. That's what we're looking at.
Really interesting. Thank you for sharing that. And I know that all these elements of care navigation, the aging in place, and also increasing that engagement at all levels, especially across the senior living continuum, I want to highlight something you and I had talked about previously was the use of the hub and spoke model for CHI. And I'd love to really understand what does the future service model look like for the organization just going forward with all these layered elements that you're touching on? What does that look like?
I love that question, Austin. And so I think the last time we spoke about the hub and spoke model, it was more of a concept, and we're proving out these concepts each day and moving towards the future. But think about it again in terms of having a centralized set of services coming out of a clubhouse within a community. what we would be providing out of our clubhouse are services related to that care navigation, having an advanced practice provider, being able to do annual wellness visits, advanced care planning, setting up those catered living services, and sending it out to our residents or to the cottage recovery care participants.
And in regard to, before we get too far from it, regards to aging in place, I think this is something where you had mentioned before there's a lot of opportunity in terms of reaching people sooner and familiarizing them with CHI more quickly and bringing them into communities and also into the all the different services that CHI can offer. But in regard to what we've seen, I think you and I have also touched on affordability and also that desire for aging in place might be a different route that some older adults want instead of a traditional senior living experience. But in terms of what that aging in place journey looks like, can you highlight any of those areas that you're really focusing on as it relates to that aging in place element and how that relates to the senior living concept in general? Because I think it plays into both the start of the continuum and familiarizing residents with an organization.
Yeah. So one of the statistics that I've come across is that we have within the United States, and certainly within some of the markets that we serve as part of Common Spirit, about a 40% housing instability rate for individuals over the age of 65. So we've identified it, and we think there's going to have to be much more focus on this in the future. So housing is going to play a huge part into the development and growth and expansion of senior living for us. Whether that means we're going to seek to partner with housing developers, there's certainly a lot of different housing agencies who provide income subsidized or low income programs to put people in housing. I don't want to give too many different names because there's several different agencies, but that would be a goal that we're beginning to identify and set our sights on is who can we partner with to bring this whole clubhouse central hub and spoke model to realization within their housing developments that are focused on seniors, because the goal should be to help them age in place.
Most definitely. And in regard to what you'd mentioned about the hub and spoke model, I think especially it's something we're seeing be a bit more common, at least in terms of new growth for organizations that may have had a long existing footprint in various areas in the senior living space. But they're really looking at centralizing and also sending out the benefits of that centralized hub to all their communities and all their different aspects of service, not outside of the traditional senior living concept. But in regard to the concept of the hub and spoke model, why is that something you think is a strong vehicle that will help propel CHI into the future? And then we can touch on some of the benefits that Common Spirit's relationship can bring.
It gets back to the need to have some level of operational efficiency. Having communities, and it's kind of baked into the name that we have had for years under CHI Living Communities, is that there's no more efficient way to provide this level of successful aging and giving seniors the ability to interact, engage with one another. I always like to say it's the college years of being a senior, and that's our design. That's what we should aim for. But being able to do it in an efficient manner with all these other additional services that you find yourself needing as you age. Again, it goes back to, we think this central model allows us to staff at a much more efficient level, to start looking at innovation in a way where it helps us staff and do more. So I guess the saying would be, we need to do more with less because we're recognizing the shortages and the challenges. And innovation is going to be a part of that. And one example I have of that is in some of our senior living dining rooms that we serve residents for meals, we're starting to use the robots, right? They're helping take meals from the back of the house to the front of the house. And then there's still someone who's there to provide the front end service and the personal touch, but they did not have to run and physically go do the job of three different people now that we're implementing this innovation.
And that point on innovation, I think, is really something we should talk about in regard to new technology. Are there any new tech elements that you want to highlight? Obviously, robotics we know has been popular for some time. And in regard to just improving operations, you mentioned that optimization piece. We often find that technology can be a vehicle for that. And I know you mentioned some tech elements when you were talking about the resident monitoring and just being able to have better insight into biometric data. But in regard to technology and 2025, are there any new things you want to highlight as it relates to supporting operations and technology?
Well, I'm a big supporter of the whole virtual remote monitoring piece within the housing element. You know, skilled nursing is a different type of care that you have to provide, and it really does all come down to the personalized people touches and touch bases. There's also this misnomer that seniors are afraid of technology, but I think when it's done right, you'll find that they really adapt to it and they accept it. I've had a number of people tell me that they've been to different care settings, and when the nurse pops up on the TV screen within a home setting to say, is there anything I can do for you? Or I see you have guests with you. Are there any questions that I can answer or go over to make sure that everybody's on the same page? It starts to become technology that we can use to not shy away from family members and from residents and patients in our care. It becomes technology that helps us focus what we should be doing all along, which is interacting and engaging and finding those opportunities to maintain a resident's safety. So I'm a big supporter of what is going to come out of virtual remote care.
Wonderful. Thank you. And in terms of, I want to touch on this point regarding Common Spirit and the infrastructure that they can provide to help improve services for CHI. How can you leverage that? What's that partnership like? And in terms of existing infrastructure, what are you thinking about as it relates to providing new services or supporting services that are already existing?
Well, so it comes down to we're wanting to be an age-friendly system. You may have heard of this program. It's focused on the four M's: what matters, mentation, mobility, and medication. And we're adopting that as part of our continuum of care. And I think the best thing we can do as a system our size is to show, by leveraging the information, we're able to provide a more personalized care approach to every individual that graces our different entry points. So between every level of care, it's every patient, every time, we should be able to communicate what's important, what matters to this resident, patient. And it's not always just so simple. You know, it could be that you don't want to make any assumptions about a person's ability to want to enjoy life. So if they tell you, hey, I want to be back on my feet and hiking the Pacific Northwest Trail or whatever it is, you know, start to think about that individual and their care goals and seeing how we can make sure that everyone's communicated to that this is someone who's an active person and they want to maintain their highest level of functioning.
Thank you. Really appreciate that insight. And in regard to the staffing challenges that I think you and I have touched on before, what do you think 2025 is going to look like from a staffing perspective? I want to make sure we touch there before we sign off here. When you're thinking about the biggest obstacles for staffing, what are you looking at for 2025?
So we're in a gig economy, and I will say we've noticed a few different things about how this impacts our ability to staff. Currently, I can say that we've seen a 400 plus increase on the number of employees that have come back into the field for us, which we are happy to see. But at the same time, we recognize the reason we're seeing this influx is because our economy is in a little bit of a struggle. But that brings people back to work. And so that's what we've seen, a 400 plus increase. We're starting to see the need for agency go down. We've operated for several months consecutively with our lowest agency almost down to zero, and in some cases, zero agency for several weeks here in the last few months, just going into 2025. So I see a good outlook for staffing. I hate the cause of why I know that those numbers are going up, but I also think that it's our job, once we get them into our workforce, identify ways to retain these quality individuals and make sure that we're a premier provider of service and the place that people want to work as well.
Most definitely. And I know you just touched on that important piece of retention. I know it's expensive to get a new staff member in the door, but to keep them is one of the most cost-effective things an operator can do in being able to maintain their bottom line. In regard to retention, what are some of the things you're focused on? What are you thinking about there as it relates to just making sure that the staff that have come back, which is great to hear, how do you keep them around, and what are they most focused on?
Yes, so that always comes down to engagement. And I think we've identified that you have to engage new hires within the first 3 months. You don't want to keep hiring the same group of people over and over again. And if you can get them past 90 days, which means that you have to invite and have a culture of leaders who understand the importance of getting to know a person very early on, that helps bring about more of the loyalty and the commitment to the job and to the residents that we serve. So it's all about engagement early on and making sure that you know what's important. As we've said, what's important to residents, you have to know what's important to staff as well. And that's our goal, in making sure that we foster that type of culture.
When you're thinking about 2025 and your outlook for senior living, I know that we've seen some optimism in recent years, which is, I think, wonderful and refreshing to see. But what's your outlook moving forward as you think about 2025 and the industry as a whole?
Yeah, so we've talked about much, Austin, and I think really my outlook and where I see things going, I'll just touch on again, which is to innovate, embrace technology, prioritize resident well-being so that we can be positioned for success.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think it's very important, and we'll be watching along the way and be able to touch base with CHI whenever we can. Prentice, thank you so much for joining me here on Transform.
Thanks, Austin.
That does it for this episode of Transform. I'm Austin Montgomery for Senior Housing News. Thanks for listening.